Welcome to the James River Church podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We're so excited about how God has moved this weekend, and we're thrilled and privileged to have Julia Bell with us this morning. She brought powerful words at conference. And God spoke through her in such a mighty way. We are privileged to have her here at the West Campus this morning, bringing the word to us live. Julia and her husband, Joel Abel, are the lead pastors. They oversee the Hillsong Network of Churches in Australia. And so privileged to have her here on the other side of the globe, preaching to us. She left in Australia her two children, 14, 16 years old, Harmony and Eli, to come and be with us. On a weekend, though, she and Joel oversee 59 separate services. That's a lot of services. So we're so delighted to have her here bringing the word. Would you welcome her this morning to James River Church?
Bless you. Bless you. Well, good morning. Who's happy to be in church this morning? Now, does anybody love the Lord Jesus Christ in this place? You both look and sound like you love Jesus. Now, before you sit down, I think you should turn to someone and tell them they've got the most fantastic smile that you've seen all day. I've got a feeling that God has got a plan for this service. And if you came to church this morning just to kind of tick off your religious box for the week, then you came to the wrong service. Because I believe with all my heart that God has got a plan for you and a plan for this service. And to be quite honest, I'm excited with what's going to happen. Because in the first service, and I got up at 5 a.m. this morning to prepare for these two services. In the first service, I brought a completely different message. But during worship, I really felt the Holy Spirit just compel me to change what I was about to speak in this service, to speak on something that I believe is not just going to be a message, but God is going to demonstrate with His power. And so if you're expectant and you're open in your heart, then I believe that Jesus is going to do something special and something radical is about to happen in somebody's life in this service. I believe people are going to be healed. I believe people are going to be saved. I believe people that have become bound with addictions are going to be set free. Does anyone believe in the power of God in this place? Before I pray, I just want to reiterate what David has already done, and I truly do want to welcome anyone who is a guest to this church, to our church this morning. Maybe you've never been in church before, and I just want to congratulate you for making your way to the house of God. We like to call it the house of God, and I really believe that if you would open your heart today, you will meet with God. And can I just say to you, if you've never encountered the love of Jesus, the love of God today, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what your past is, I can guarantee you that the God of heaven, the God of creation, He loves you. And you've come to the right place today. Can we pray together? Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for church. I thank you that the church is your idea. And I just want to say, God, that I love your idea of the church, and I'm so happy and so blessed to be a part of it. And I'm so blessed to know your word and to have your word transform my life. And I ask, God, now that as we open your word, that your word would not just transform my life as I read it, but it would transform the lives of everyone who hears it this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask you to have your way in this place, in Jesus' name. Can you say in Jesus' name? And what a beautiful name that is. Could I just talk to production just for a minute? Could I have a little bit more fold back? I know it's perfect out of front of house, but a little bit more fold back would help me, which is good. I've been talking all weekend. Who knows that I need a little help? Amen. Can we put our hands together and thank the production team, because they've been extraordinary all weekend. I want to read to you a passage of scripture, which is actually the parting words of Jesus to us, his church, his body, before he ascended before his disciples and went to be with his Father. So this is after the resurrection and before he ascended. Now, I just want us to get a little visual. This is before he ascended to go to be with his... Ascended. That means that he literally levitated before his disciples, but just kept going. I've got some good news where Jesus is right now. You can be assured that Jesus sits right now at the right hand of his Father. And the Bible tells us that right now, over your life, he intercedes for you. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That you haven't got a Savior that remains distant, but he's very up close and personal, and he's right involved in your life by praying for you. If you wonder why many of life's disasters have been averted from your life, don't ask any more questions. Jesus intercedes for you. But before he did that, he left us with some parting words that I want to read to you. So if we turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 16, verses 17 to 19, I want us to really take a hold of this verse for our own lives today. Verse 17 says, "These miraculous signs will accomplish those who believe." Everyone say, "Who believe." "They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it will not hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed." Everyone say, "And they will be healed." "And when the Lord had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand." Oh, what comforting thought. What comforting thoughts that Jesus left us with, that we will lay hands on the sick and they might be healed. He didn't actually leave us with this parting commission. He actually left us with the commission, not just for people who take platforms like this, but for all of us, that you will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. If you're writing notes today, the title of this message is, "And they will be healed." Turn to your neighbor and say, "And they will be healed." I don't know about you, and I would say maybe most of us here have actually, unfortunately, come up close and personal with someone, maybe even ourselves, who've had cancer. Just give me a wave if you've either had cancer or you've known someone with cancer. Well, the first time I came up close and personal with someone diagnosed with cancer was when I was a teenager. And the person that was diagnosed with cancer was probably one of my best friends, and it was my cousin. And I remember when he was diagnosed, not just with cancer that could be fixed, but a terminal bone cancer. No one wants to hear those words "terminal" pronounced over your life. You know, and I remember him on his treatment journey, and you know, it's a rigorous thing to go through. And if you've known anyone that's gone through the cancer journey, you know it's rigorous. I mean, the treatment in itself has a demise on your body, and it definitely had this effect on my cousin. But by the grace of God, on his cancer journey, my cousin actually encountered the love of Jesus for the first time. And along that journey, he surrendered his life to Jesus. Very powerful. And I remember everything about his countenance, and just even the look on his face, it all changed. He still had cancer, but he also now had Jesus. And oh man, it was just a precious time. Unfortunately though, my cousin, he attended a church that didn't believe in the power of God to heal today. They believed that Jesus healed when he was on earth, but they said the ability to see someone healed of sickness or disease, when Jesus went back to be with his Father, the ability for anyone to do that went with Jesus. And that's what they taught my cousin, and that's what my cousin thought. He thought, I've got Jesus, I love Jesus, my diagnosis is terminal and I will die. Well, for me, I didn't go to a church that believed that it was only for Jesus. They actually believe what the Bible says, that Jesus actually left us with parting words that you now will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so I had faith in my heart. I had such deep faith in my heart that God would heal my cousin because I loved him. You know when you really love someone, the faith, it goes beyond just faith, and it's like this desperate faith. It's like, God, I know you can do this, and I know you would want to do this for my cousin. And anyway, we were at a family function together, my cousin and I, and I remember seeing him across the room and so stirred in my heart to say to him, Grant, I believe that God can heal you of this cancer. I felt like I just needed to plant that seed of faith in him because I knew that he didn't believe in the power of God to heal. I knew he didn't, but I did. Do I have anyone in the room that also believes in God's power to heal today? And so as a young teenage girl, with all the faith in the world that God could do this, I remember walking up to my cousin and I looked him in the eye and I just said, do you know what? I believe God can heal you. And I never forget the look in his eyes as he looked back at me and he said, well, Julia, if believing that helps you to come to terms with the fact that I'm dying, that's fine with me. And a few months later, he actually passed away and went to be with Jesus. You know, sometimes life doesn't turn out the way that we think it's going to turn out. And I've often thought to myself, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, what was that all about? What happened at that moment? Because God, when I looked at him, I had so much faith that you could heal him. Yet within a couple of months, he went to be with you. I guess I'm really excited that one day I will be reunited with him. Praise God. And despite the fact that he did not receive the kind of healing that I thought that he was going to receive, it does not change the fact that I believe with my whole heart in the power of God to heal today. The Bible says that we shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Let me say that again. We shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Make no mistake, there are people that came out the front of this church this morning that walked out here with faith, had people lay hands on them, and they were healed in the name of Jesus. We will hear testimonies of that in weeks and months to come. So I am convinced. I am standing up here as an Australian girl who loves Jesus, crazy enough to believe God is real. His power is available for us. Greater is he that is on the inside of us than he that is in the world. And if God says that I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover, I am crazy enough and faith-filled enough to believe that he will be true to his word in the name of Jesus. Now, this is what I also know. God doesn't always do it the way I think he will. You know, I don't know why, when sometimes we lay hands on the sick, we don't see an immediate recovery. But I've also seen us lay hands on the sick and I've seen immediate recovery. I've also seen God use the wisdom of doctors. And I still think that that's a part of God's plan. And I've also seen him fill people with wisdom for their circumstances to apply different methods or different ways of living. And as they've done that, I've watched them walk out their healing. Again, I want to say this. I believe in the power of God to heal. It says this in Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. Oh, you're going to love this. This is about Jesus. It says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Can anyone praise God for that? By the wounds of Jesus, we are healed. Healing is ours. I was at the end of a service at one of our campuses in Australia. So we've got many different locations. Like, you've got two different locations, is that correct? As one church in two locations. Well, we've got 25 different locations. That's why we've got 59 services that David was mentioning. And I was in the last service of the 59 services for the weekend. And right at the end of the service, I stood up and the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. He said, pray for people with eczema. This is why I was just standing there. Someone had just preached the word of God. I was just getting up to close and bless the people as they left. But that urge to pray for those with eczema was so strong that when I got up there to pray for people, I said, listen, I feel like God has just told me that God wants to heal people with eczema. Now that's pretty, would you agree that's a pretty specific thing? Now I had no clue. I mean, I don't go around checking people's bodies out to, you know, like, have you got eczema? Have you got eczema? Like, as you're coming through the door, just give me a little wave if you've got eczema. It wasn't like that. I really felt like God said, wanted to heal people with eczema. So I said, would you stand to your feet and I'm going to pray for you, just the whole church. So I asked the whole church to stand to their feet. And then I said, and if you need God to heal you in your body, but especially if you've got eczema, I want you to raise your hands towards him and receive his healing in Jesus' name. So I prayed. I prayed for healing. And then I dismissed the church and everyone left. I was kind of hoping that if anyone had an eczema, they would have just come out and go, God healed me. This is amazing. And I would have had a party with them because I like to party with people when God does things in their lives, right? Anyone else with me? You like to celebrate when God does something significant in someone's life. But no one came forward. 2 weeks later, I was back in that campus, and I go to a lot of the different campuses in our church, so I'm not often in this campus. I'm regular, but not often, like every weekend. So 2 weeks later, I was in this campus, and at the end of the service, this girl in her early 20s, she came running up to me at the end of the service and she said, Julia, can I tell you a good story? Well, like I said, I'm always in for a good story. You got a good story to tell? I'm in. If you got a bad story, tell the person sitting next to you after the service. But if you got a good story, man, who loves a good story? So I'm like, yeah, I'm in. Tell me a good story. She goes, do you remember a couple of weeks ago, you at the end of the service said God wanted to heal people with eczema? I said, yeah, I totally do. I remember that. And she said, well, I came into church that night and I've been struggling with eczema all my life. And she said, as you asked us to stand, she said, if you could have seen my body, she said, I had eczema, which drove me crazy from my head to my toe. And she said, and it was particularly bad on the backs of my elbows, on the inside of my arms and the backs of my legs and all over my torso. And she said, but by the time I got home that night, and to this very day, she says, I have had not 1 ounce of eczema on my body. She said, that night, Jesus healed me of eczema. You know what I love about Jesus? What I love about him is he's so personal and he cares. He doesn't want us to suffer. And if you're wondering here this morning, would God be willing to heal me? Would he be willing? Not only can he heal us, but he is willing. He is willing to heal us. Not just willing as in, yeah, I want to, but he's willing to heal us. He desires to heal us. I love that about Jesus. It says in Luke 5, a story about a man with leprosy. I guess it's kind of the extreme version of eczema. This was a skin disease that actually ate someone's flesh away. And these people that got leprosy, they were outcasts of the society. I think it's very interesting that it's included in the Bible, this story of outcasts. So Jesus heals a man with leprosy in Luke 5, verses 12 to 14, if you just want to turn there and read along with me. It says, in one of the villages, Jesus met a man with advanced case of leprosy. Everyone say advanced. I kind of like this story because it's kind of like my cousin with terminal cancer. Pretty sure that this leprosy would have been terminal for this guy. It's like an advanced case of leprosy. And when the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. And he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Don't you love the faith of this guy? I reckon when you're desperate, that's how you would talk. And you would be like, God, I know you can do this. I know you can do this. So if you are willing, would you heal me? Do you know what I love about Jesus? Is that we don't actually need to beg him to heal us. Because listen to this incredibly gracious, compassionate response. Jesus reached out and touched him. Like seriously, people didn't touch people with leprosy. Because there was a whole lot of fear. So if I touch you, I could get this disease myself and then I'm going to be an outcast as well. Don't forget, although Jesus was God, he was also fully man. He was fully man, fully susceptible to everything that we are susceptible to. He was fully God, but fully man. What does he do? This is what I love about him. He reached out his hand, not just, you know, the courtesy. Yes, I'll pray for you, but from a distance. You know, stretch out your hand and pray for the sick and they will recover. No, he reached out his hand. Could you come towards me? And he touched him. He touched him. Fully God, but fully man. He touched this diseased man with no fear that somehow that was going to rub off on him, but knowing the power of God. You know what else Jesus would say? I only do what I see my Father doing. I only do what I see my Father doing. So if you wonder, does God want to heal? Does the Father, the Creator, want to heal? Well, we see that when Jesus stretched out his hands, laid hands on this sick man, touched him, you can be assured that wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, God is not afraid of you. He's not afraid to come up close and personal. He's not afraid of your addiction. He's not afraid of your sickness. He's not afraid of your disease. In fact, he's willing to touch you. Thank you. And this is what he said. I am willing. Be healed. Ah, now this goes to a whole nother level. Like seriously, is anyone else getting excited about this or is it just me? Because then he says, and instantly he was healed. So sometimes, yes, it does take time. I don't know why. But in this case, and this is what I'm believing in this service this morning, and instantly, everyone say instantly, he was healed. Then Jesus instructed him not to tell anyone what had happened. It's because it wasn't yet Jesus's time. That's why he said that. Not because he was trying to be, you know, humble or don't tell anyone. No, he knew it wasn't his time. for him to be revealed yet. He said, go to the priests and let them examine you and take along the offspring required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. Wow. But today I don't just stand here as someone who believes in the power of God to heal, but I've experienced the healing power of God. Many times, and in different family members. My son was born with a large hole in his heart. Now, if you're born with a hole in your heart, if it's a small one, they can actually close on their own. And I mean, God created our bodies incredibly to heal themselves. But this was an extra large hole, and they said this would require open heart surgery to restore his heart. Well, I believe in the power of God to heal, and the Bible also says, take the sick to the elders, let them lay hands on them, they will recover. Well, when he was just a tiny little baby, we took our son to the elders for them to lay hands on our son. And guess what? God closed his hole. It wasn't instant, but every time we kept going back to the specialist, he kept saying to us, this is very unusual. This seems to be closing on its own. I have not seen this before. This was the leading cardiac surgeon in our nation. So he'd seen some pretty awesome hearts. And I don't say awesome because they were awesome. They were like awesome. I've seen God heal. When I was heading into my final exams of high school, so I was about to finish high school and these were our final exams, I was diagnosed with glandular fever. And if you've ever had glandular fever, man, when you get a really bad case of it, I can only describe it like this. I felt like I was dying. My glands everywhere, all over my body, were just huge. If you looked at my neck, I looked like I had a footballer's neck. It was huge. And the count of glandular fever in my bloodstream was like, it was like at its peak, it was high. And they're like, look, Julia, you're not gonna be able to do your final exams. That's just not gonna happen. Which meant that I wouldn't get my university entrance to get into the university that I wanted, which meant that I wouldn't be able to carry on with life as I had planned. Which, hello, plans change, it's okay. But I had a father, my dad, his name's John, like your pastor John. And he believed in the power of God to heal. And I praise God that I had a dad that believed in the power of God to heal. I also had a boyfriend at the time. His name was Joel LaBelle. And he also believed in the power of God to heal. He just happens to be my husband now. What comes next may have a little to do with why I said yes to marry him. It actually doesn't. But I got back from the doctors and I was in bed, and my father, full of faith, my boyfriend at the time, full of faith, they came in into my bedroom and they said, and I only vaguely remember this because I was so sick, and they said, Julia, we're going to pray over you and we're going to command this sickness to go in the name of Jesus. We are going to proclaim the name of Jesus, the name above glandular fever. We're going to proclaim that name over you, and we're going to believe that God is going to instantaneously heal you. Amen. Anyway, I didn't care what they did. I was so sick. They could have turned me upside down and held me by my feet. I didn't care. I was so sick. You want to pray for me? Yeah, whatever. I don't care. I was almost delirious with the fevers, actually. So they laid hands on me, and in the name of Jesus, they commanded glandular fever to go. Well, you know what? Within a couple of days, I went back to the doctor. I got another blood test, and there was absolutely no trace of glandular fever in my blood. So if you're asking me, do you believe in the power of God to heal? I have to stand before you here today, not just as a faith-filled believer, but someone who has experienced the power of God to heal. Does anybody else here believe in the power of God to heal? Amen. And I believe that there is no other name. Just as the team come and join me, because we're going to sing that song, there is no other name than the name of Jesus. I love that we sang that this morning. There is no other name. You don't heal in Julia's name. In and of myself, I can lay hands on you and in the name of Julia be healed. I can guarantee you nothing will happen. I've got no power in and of myself. I am not special. I am not this girl that you all need to come to right after the service, because if I just get to her and she lays hands on me, then I'll be healed. No, if you've got someone sitting next to you and you need healing, they can lay hands on you. All you need is a little bit of faith and they proclaim in the name of Jesus that you will be healed. Guess what's going to happen? Something's going to shift. This is what it says. Just stand to your feet, church, if you would. And we're going to start to begin to worship. But in Philippians 2, verses 8 to 11, it says, "And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." We have a God, and his name is Jesus, that has the name above cancer, eczema, glandular fever, has the name above broken relationships, broken down marriage, financial demise, drug addict. He's got the name above every other name. And if we would just take a moment in worship to lift up that name, I believe that God is going to heal people. Doesn't matter if you've already come out for healing. Right where you sit right now, God, or stand right now, God can heal you. And as we worship, I'm going to believe that as you reach out to him with faith in your heart, that he is well able to do that which he says he will do. I'm going to believe that God is going to pour out his power this morning and heal people. And then we're going to pray. But I'm not going to pray. I'm going to get people to pray over one another. Not special people down the front here who've been appointed to pray, but anyone with faith in their heart to believe that Jesus can heal. We're going to start to, right where we are in our seats, we're going to begin to lay hands on one another, and we're going to believe that God is going to pour out his power this morning, and we're going to see miracles in this place in Jesus' name. Amen.